I'd like to direct your attention tonight to the prophet Isaiah in the 40th chapter. Now, a few verses there that I'd like to direct your thinking toward in verse 28 to 31. Amen. Now, while you're turning, I always reserve the right, whenever I announce what I might speak on, to change my thoughts in case the Lord happens to change. I've been in that position a few times, and it's almost made me want to just leave every night to itself. But there's something that's kindly touching my heart, and I would like to, if this is the Lord speaking to me, I'd like to speak tomorrow night on the subject, why the angels would like to be in attendance in the service tomorrow night. And I'll give you a Bible reason for it. But I'd like to speak on that if the Lord continues to deal with my heart. Now in verse 28 of this chapter, hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, thinketh not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increases strength. I want to read that verse for you again. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increases strength. Ever felt that you were in that predicament? Ever felt that you had come to the end? Ever felt the resources of your physical being had all been exhausted? Well, then the prophecy comes out to you tonight. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint. Now there's one word that I want to use tonight in verse 31. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew. Renew is the word that I want to use tonight. And I trust that we shall gather what God has to give us from this word tonight. This word renew in the Hebrew means to exchange. Now it reads entirely different when you put that word in there. But they that wait upon the Lord shall exchange their strength. They that wait upon the Lord shall exchange their strength. Amen. I know every one of you about has come to the place in your domestic life. You felt like the old automobile had worn out on you. The power had gone, and you needed to do something. So you took it down and traded it in on a new one. And you got a new engine with new horsepower rating, and everything was running smooth. Now God is telling you and I here that the young men shall faint and be weary, and even utterly fall. And even the one before this said he gives power to the faint, and to them that have no might within them, he gives power to them. But how is he going to do it? He's going to do it by a process of exchange. Hallelujah. For you see, man was born the cobbler. That's just our nature. And that doesn't speak ill of us. That's just the way we were born. And when man gets ready for a new breed of cattle, well, he starts in a process of a new breeding line. And he, through the process of breeding, he builds up to what he is really desiring. And when man wants a different kind of an automobile, or to change up the automobile, he tears out the molds out of the factory, and he puts new molds in there to give it different shape and styling and what have you. When he wants to change the airplane up a little bit, he does the same thing, and they modernize their equipment. They change it throughout. And when the medical science wants to give us help in our physical bodies, they start to putting us on diets of different kind. If you need weight, they put you on that kind of a diet. If you need to take it off, like I do, why, they give you another kind of a diet. And they begin to pour vitamins and geritol and what have you down us. And through a process here, they build us up to the kind of an individual that medical science says is possible. And when our educational system wants better men, they start an educational program They say we can cure the ills of our country and our nation with education. And we'll learn how to get along with one another and so on and so forth through a process of learning and of education. But when God gets ready to make better men, He lays aside all of this cobbling. He doesn't have to go through this kind of a process, but the Bible said that we become a new creature in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. And it's an act of God, a miraculous thing, and all of a sudden our desires change. And our longings begin to change, and our taste and appetite begins to change because we become a new man. Hallelujah. Now, God doesn't melt us in a mold, and it doesn't take us back to the human factory. And shoot us back out again. He doesn't do any of that. But He makes a new man out of the old one. Hallelujah. And it's a process of a miracle. And in 5 minutes time, we are a brand new creature in Christ Jesus. The Bible said that we are a babe in the Lord. Hallelujah. And we start all over again. This dear brother over here on the right told me last night that he was 5 years old. Oh, hallelujah. Just 5 years old in the Lord. So this is the thing. So when God gets ready now to make better men, He makes them by a divine exchange. He exchanges His divine strength for the human frailties. And He puts the divine life within, and it takes out all the carnal. Amen. That is as much as we'll let Him have. And He begins to make a new man that has reach the man up with wings as he goes, run and not be weary, and walk and not faint. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. And so here is the divine plan that we're looking at tonight. Now, it isn't anything tonight to recognize that we were full of guilt and shame and disgrace and what have you. Brother Pastor said, all right, remove my coat. Man, it's hot up here. And maybe I'm just hot on the collar, but anyway, it's sure warm up here tonight. Amen. And I remember the day that the Spirit of God began to smite my heart. I felt like that I was the most wicked man in all of the earth. I felt that I was involved in the greatest of sins. My father was a good moral man. He set grace at the table, and we had family altar at least spasmodically in the home. My father said, you boys never say a word. Let a word come out of your mouth that you would be ashamed of your mother hearing you say. And this was the kind of dad I had. He said, I don't ever want to see any of you take anything that doesn't belong to you. And he told us all the time, if you get a whooping at the school, you'll get another one when you come home. And then, of course, that's kind of the way we were and the way I was raised. But when God began to deal with my heart, because that I was born in sin, I felt that I was as deep under the pit and guilt of sin as the hardest of sinners, regardless of where he was. I felt that mountain of sin weighing down upon my heart. And I'll never forget the night that I went to the altar. And I look up in my own mind's vision, and I see that mountain of sin, and I think to myself, how in the world will I ever get out from under it? How can I get free of this guilt? How can it be washed away from me? But in a moment's time, the glory of the Lord has filled my heart, and the sin has rolled away, and the joy of God has come in. So I traded my guilt for his pardon. Oh, hallelujah. And what a pardon it was to receive from the hand of the Lord. There's never been a criminal that felt as joyful and as free and as liberated as I felt that night, I'm receiving a pardon. But I'm glad that the pardon that God handed me was a divine pardon. Hallelujah. That would not last for just time, but it would last for eternity. Praise our God. Then the Bible said that we traded our ashes for his beauty. Oh, hallelujah. Now, there's not too many of us that couldn't stand a little more beauty. And particularly, I'm aware of that fact. When I look in the mirror, I'm conscious of that. I very often question and wonder what Sister Luna saw in this fellow. When I look in the mirror, I don't see a thing in the world that excites me any. In fact, I see a lot of things that I'd be better off without. And if God had a program some way of giving a facelift thing, I think many times I'd be down there and seeking him for the results to happen. But instead of God giving a faceless thing, the Lord gives a heart lifting. Hallelujah. And I've seen some of the most unworthy sights of humanity come to the Lord, and the glory beam across their heart and soul, and they look like an angel. Hallelujah. When the glory of God gets on the inside. No wonder the Bible said, he beautifies the meek with salvation. Hallelujah. So now then, I've kind of got the edge on you. Don't you sympathize with me with what I said a moment ago. According to the Bible, I'm beautiful. Praise God. Hallelujah, because he beautifies the meek with salvation. And I'm so glad that God has a program that he can erase the sorrows and the pricks and the pain away from the heart, the guilt and the suffering, and lift man and elevate man to a place in the riches of God. But he knows that he's a child of the King. Oh, hallelujah. Not only that, but I traded my death for his life. And that's tremendous, folks. trading my death, I was doomed to die. The guilt is sinner. The wages of sin is death. I was guilty and was doomed, but he traded life for my death. Hallelujah. And that's wonderful and that's glorious. But I want to tell you, I want to tell you tonight, not only this, but God did a miraculous work that went even further than that. And I want to tell you, friends, according to the Bible said here, they that wait upon the Lord shall exchange. And I'm glad there's an exchange in business that's going on tonight. Hallelujah! And I remember the Apostle Paul said, if we as a man standing before the mirror will change from image to image, in the blessing and the presence and the power of God, we're becoming more like Jesus Christ. The more we have fellowship with God and the more we visit with him around the altar and the more we read of his precious word, the more of that image is built within us and the more we become like the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I've said this a lot of times and I don't know if you can detect any resemblance or not, but you take men and women that live together as husband and wife for years and years and years, they look at one another so much and they're accustomed to looking at those facial features until they begin to take on the image and they begin to favor one another. Amen. The religion of heaven has noticed that. Why, sure you have. So I'm not teaching you a strange thought here tonight, but oh, I'm so glad that when we have fellowship with him who is elevated above the fallen depravity of man, that we can take on a heavenly nature and the glory of God in our hearts, and we can become like him. Hallelujah! No wonder the songwriter had it in his heart. It takes time to be holy. Speak off with thy Lord, for as often as you speak to him, and the more you have fellowship with him, the better you're going to become acquainted with him, and the better your life is going to be enriched, for the more the exchanging is going to be done. You're going to draw upon the supernatural, and he's going to take away the old human nature. Hallelujah to God. So you become like people around. You become like those that you associate with. This brings up a little thought that we need to be careful of whom we keep company. For the company we keep is going to have influence upon us. Right. Amen? That's the truth. I say a lot of times, young converts around the altar would get up from the altar in their select company with some of the people that was coming to the church that maybe had a sour note and a sour attitude. And it wouldn't be long that young convert would be disheartened and discouraged and quit, and you couldn't get them back in the house of God. And there wasn't anything wrong with that. By the same token, I've seen the young convert get along by the side of a warm heart in God. Someone who who was enjoying the blessing of the Lord. And you could see that young convert as they was growing, not by inches, but it looked like just growing by the foot. Hallelujah. Every time they come to church, the glory and the power and the morning of God was upon the life because they kept company with someone who could talk with him about Jesus. Hallelujah to God. Now there's Bible examples of this exchanging that I want to relate to your memory tonight. And I know that you'll remember when I start talking about them. I remember Moses, the Bible said, spent 40 days in the mount with God. Oh, hallelujah. While he was bringing Israel out of Egypt, and they got along there to Mount Sinai, here goes Moses up in the mount to talk with God. 40 days with God. Oh, isn't that something? But Moses stayed in the holy mount. There is no wonder and no marvel then that when Moses come down out of the mount, that he had to veil his face before Israel could ever look upon him. He had to put the veil over his face so they might be able to see the humanity that was left. 40 days with God almost had transfigured him. A halo and a glory was upon him. There was a divine penetration that went deep in the heart and in the life. 40 days with God, hallelujah, had changed him, and he took on divine strength, and he laid aside the human failure. Oh, hallelujah. Jesus, the Bible said, spent 40 days on the mount of on the mount of temptation. Whenever he come down out of the mount, the very next Sabbath day, the Bible said that he went into the synagogue, as was his custom. The Jewish rabbi called him and said, come on, up to the front, and I want you to say something. And he got him up to the front, and Jesus asked for the scroll of Isaiah, and the rabbi went over and pulled the scroll out of its position and place and handed it to Jesus. And he rolled down the scroll to Isaiah chapter 61, and he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to set at liberty those that are bruised. Hallelujah. And to preach the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God. And he rolled the scroll up and he sat down. But the eyes of that audience that day, they said they was fastened on him. Brother, he had spent so much time, and there was such an anointing upon him that they fastened their eyes upon him. They forgot about humanity, and they began to look at the divine side of the guest upon that day. Hallelujah. I remember when you turn over a few pages in God's wonderful book, and I read there was 120 that went to the upper room, and they spent 10 days in magnifying and praising God. Hallelujah. And at the conclusion of that 10 days, the Bible said the Holy Ghost fell upon them like cloven tongues as a fire. And they began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit of God gave them utterance. The crowd that had gathered upon the feast day in Jerusalem, they heard the noise of the Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'll tell you, when God gets inside deep enough and full enough, somebody's going to hear from you. Amen. You just can't put a cap on it and seal it all away. When you get so full, there's something got to spill out. Hallelujah. When they heard the noise of all, they said, "What meaneth this?" They said, "These men act like they're mad." Amen. But if this kind of madness does the same thing today, and I believe it will, as it did then, the whole bunch of us tonight ought to get mad. Amen. We ought to get this kind of madness. We ought to have this kind of injection. But they stayed there and they waited on the Lord until the Holy Ghost fell upon them. Oh, hallelujah. 120 of them. Now there's a challenge that's waiting before us tonight. And that challenge is, God has not changed his plan nor his policy. Several years ago, I picked up the history of the outbreak of Pentecost in America. And I began to read. I found out that a Bible school in Topeka, Kansas, one of the instructors of that school had never had the experience of the infilling of the Spirit. He knew nothing at all about it. But he, through teaching the book of Acts in one semester of their schooling, he challenged the students. He said, "I'm going to be away from the school for a number of days." And he said, "I challenge you to read the book of Acts and to pray and to wait on the Lord." When that teacher got back, the Holy Ghost had failed. There was not a one in the college had ever heard anyone speak in a heavenly language. And no one around could tell them what was taking place. And when the teacher asked, "What means all this?" they said, "These students have been praying and reading the Word of God and waiting on the Lord ever since you have been gone." That was the outbreak of the Pentecostalism as we know it today. And it started out at the turn of the century. There was a colored man that was in that revival, in that Bible school, that got in touch with it, and he went to Houston. They was having a meeting down there. And then the glory of the Lord was being poured out upon hungry and waiting hearts. In Houston, the power of God had begun to saturate the place. Revival fires was burning. And there was a lady from a Nazarene church out in Los Angeles, California, had drifted into that revival. And she sat there and she listened to this colored preacher as he was preaching on the fullness of the blessing in Pentecostal power. She was so enraptured. She was so enthused and excited about it. She went up to him afterward and said, "Hey, brother, will you come to our church?" in Los Angeles and get this message to our people that's out there. We're so hungry for the Lord and the power of our God. He said, all right. Nowadays, you know, we'd probably say, well, you better talk to your pastor. But he said, all right. All right, I'll go. And he went out to Los Angeles, California. And the very first Sunday morning, he got up and read his text. And they were all assembled in one mind, in one accord. On the day of Pentecost, he read that and he began to tell them about this wonderful and glorious experience that God was pouring out in Topeka, Kansas, in Houston, and then it was in Dallas, and he began to tell of the glory of the Lord. And that church became so excited, and the pastor got so wrought up over the thing. They dismissed the morning service about 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and they went home. And in that night, when they come back for church, the church doors were nailed up tight as they could be. There was no way in the world to get in. But the little band of folks that had gathered took the colored preacher down the street to an old barn that had been evacuated. And they started, or rather, I've got my story a little bit. They went to a dwelling, one of the ladies' homes, or men's home, and they preached out in the backyard. And the crowds got so big they had to find a bigger place. And they went to the old barn that I was speaking about. And the glory of the Lord began to fall. And they had revival in that place that lasted for 3 years. Day and night, there was no one that was in charge of the service. There was no one that was the moderator or the MC. But the Holy Ghost fell. And people from all over the world came and received the glorious infilling of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Newspapers of Los Angeles got all stirred up about it. They sent their news reporters. They said, we want you to go down and take a report on this wild fanaticism that's going on, and we want to blast it in the papers. And the old boy was from, he was across the sea somewhere, some foreign land, and he got down there with his pen and his paper, and he started to take in some notes, and about that time the Holy Ghost fell, and the glory of the Lord filled the place. Somebody got up and gave a message out in another language, and it happened to be the language that the old boy had come from. And he went back, he dropped his pen, and when that service was over, he told his boss, he said, get my paycheck ready. I'll not get a story on that fanatical bunch for anything in the world. He said, they've got God in their midst, and I'm not allowed to put my hand upon them. Hallelujah! 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 The story goes that men came from all over the world. They came from Germany. They came from India. They came from Africa. They came from South America. They came from everywhere. And the Spirit of God so moved. They didn't have a break in their revival, day or night. 24 hours a day in that old barn, they was having the glory of the Lord was falling down upon them. Hallelujah. 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 Am I trying to encourage fanaticism tonight? No, sir. I'm trying to tell you the same God that was anxious to pour out on waiting and hungry hearts in 1900 is ready tonight to pour out His Spirit upon those that were there. Wait upon Him. I want you to stand with me tonight. Go ahead and worship Him if you like. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Heavenly rain. Let me give you a little bit more Bible background. When Peter one day was waiting for his lunch to be prepared, he told his wife, "Those in the house, I'm going up on the housetop to pray and wait on the Lord." And when he got up there, he didn't realize that he was going to fall out under God's mighty presence. There God gave him a vision that changed the entire course of his life. God showed him there was three men that was coming to ask a favor of him. and take this Pentecostal Jew down to a Gentile's house and preach to them this wonderful news that he had stored up in his soul. And when Peter arrived from that vision, he looked down the trail and he saw the three men coming. This was an occasion while Peter was waiting upon the Lord. God so filled his heart and filled his soul. I take you yonder for a moment to the Isle of Patmos, an island for persecution, an island that's to be away, if possible, the testimony of Jesus Christ. But John said, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. Hallelujah. And it was there in that persecution atmosphere. It was there seemingly what they figured out to be the last moments of his life that the beloved John caught the revelation of Jesus Christ, and they was one of the greatest books in our Bible. While he was waiting upon the Lord. Oh, hallelujah. I want to tell you, saint of God, that I don't care how little and how insignificant you feel. I want you to know your God is just the same tonight. And they that wait upon him is not going to leave disappointed. Oh, hallelujah. 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 While Moses was at the backside of the desert, God showed him a burning bush that changed his entire life. And that for a renewed commission in him to go yonder and deliver 2.5 million slaves. That was under the iron rule of Pharaoh. Just waiting on the Lord. God said, Moses, now I want you to pull your shoes off. The place that you're standing on is holy ground, and you can't get what I want to give you just by hitting and running. I want you to stay there. I've got a divine commission that I'm going to place upon your life. Hallelujah. Now I don't want you to get up running off. Hallelujah. David, the psalmist of a sweet singer of Israel, said, while I was musing, the fire burned. Oh, hallelujah. Waiting and fellowshipping and communing with God, the fire burned on the altar of his soul. Hallelujah. Brother, I want you to know tonight that God has it waiting for you, and he'll renew or exchange the strength with you. He'll take your weakness away from your experience, and he'll pour in divine enablement and divine ability. If you want to leave tonight like a Samson and like a giant in the Lord, don't get in a hurry, but say, God, I'm going to wait on you until the power and the glory fills my way. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. They that wait upon the Lord shall exchange their strength. I want an honest confession from you right now. How many of you in this meeting will say, Brother Loomer, I'm going to be as honest as I know. I'm sick and tired of my spiritual weaknesses, and there's a gnawing hunger in my life to have divine enablement. I want to see your hand. Will you lift them up? All over this congregation, God bless your hungry heart. Come on around the altar. Stand if you like. Just put your hands in the air. Kneel if you like. But let's wait on him. Let's pour our hearts out to him. Let's let him send the divine glory and the power within us tonight. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want you to be business when you come tonight. I want you to say, God, I'm here for the glory of God. I'm here for the power of God. I'm here for the divine strength comes. Oh, hallelujah. 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 They don't wait upon him, but shall exchange their strength. Oh, hallelujah, 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 amen. Open your heart wide, believe him to fulfill the promise in your life. Believe him tonight. Give us, give us, give us.